You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a good-looking Tuesday. I got some text here. Mino says, quote, give me four guesses to get three right, with total confidence in his voice. Mino then proceeds to take six guesses, only gets two, yet remains completely unfazed. Peak Mino right there.
There you go.
Another one.
I live with that.
From Marine, I totally agree with the 1923 season, first episode. Season two, first episode, I had to leave the room during the scenes. You are right. It should not have been put in that show, Marine. It was it was literally disturbing.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Yep. We'll introduce our special guest.
Hey, we love the arts, and we got a special guest here, and Zane Statz, right?
Yes.
Zane Statz, 32-year-old.
No, it does sound like a made-up name.
It does. That's why I asked
Coming up next, Zane Statz.
Now it's real. I'm
it
a
is,
birth certificate.
And all right, and you're the real guy when it comes to art. Norbert's grad, and you do painting, artwork in communities here in Green Bay, but all through the Midwest. Tell me how you got into this, and I want to
Where do we see your work?
I want to talk to you more about what you're doing, the portrait thing, but
sure.
Tell me a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, so no, I'm born and raised in the area, grew up in Door County, went to St. Norbert for college, and I've just kind of been painting murals and really anything for the last 10, 12 years. So back in 2014, with another friend, I started the Packers Fence down on Lombardi Avenue.
With Spencer.
Yes.
Who's a friend of ours,
yep.
too.
Yeah. Back in 2014, painted that for about 8 years, changing it up every year. With a different kind of design, slogan, kind of amping up the season. Always a Saturday before the first season of the game or the season of the year. And so then back in 2 years ago, I started a new fence, which is a community paint-by-numbers fence. So it's down the road, same street, same block, just kitty-corner to hinterland. And this is a fence where I set up a paint-by-numbers grid, have the community come out and paint it in one day.
Because how many people you had?
So this year, this season, I had about 500 people
paint
the mural in about 9 hours. So it
that's
was a
pretty
very,
cool.
Yeah. So year one, it was about 200 people came out and painted it in an hour and a half. I had it more of a simplified mural. I wasn't sure how the turnout was going to be. So then year two,
I took it up.
When was it?
What was it?
Mural. The first mural was an illustration of four vintage football cards featuring the three previous quarterbacks.
Remember that?
And then I do.
Jordan Love. And then this year it says Lambeau, and it features a different player illustration inside of each letter.
Yeah, if you would have called me, I would have told you the turnout's going to be good. I mean, that is just something that's almost like shoveling snow at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
I mean, people just want to be part of that. Johnny and I painted there with Spencer's thing one time. That's just a cool part of Green Bay, like the kids with the bikes, and I think people take part of that. And you've got...
Does anybody know what the very first sign said? I do.
What the very first sign said? Mm-hmm. No, but that'd have to be back in the 80s, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm.
How do we verify this?
I'll
saying it. Oh. Isn't that verification enough?
I know what it was, Zane. Beware of dog.
Beware of dog. It's probably go pack go.
Go pack go there. What was it, Johnny?
Yeah. I'm going to throw this out there for a prize package.
Okay.
I'll write it
that
down.
Means he doesn't
I'm curious.
Know.
No, I should. Give me a pen. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write this down for you guys and see if anybody knows. Todd, you got something for a prize package?
This is the first Packer painted fence on Lombardi.
Yes.
John?
What year would this be? This would be 82.
I'm going to say 84.
84. Okay.
Zane's on top of this. I'm sure you don't know this.
And this would be the one that's kitty corner to the Resch Expo now. It's the one with the plaque, I'm assuming, that has the text from every year.
Okay, so I'm going to show you this.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Good luck. Okay.
I just that.
Yes.
I,
does
I
anybody remember 1984?
I would.
Todd, what
that.
We got for a prize package?
Well, don't put it up in front of the camera.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Here we got a.
That's not what I have according to online, but ooh. We'll go with yours.
Okay. Can you text me what it says online?
Sure.
Just to make sure they've got it wrong.
We have this WGBW coffee cup, Mino and the Mayor.
I've got
an wash that out. We'll give it away.
No, I've got a real one. We'll give him a Mino and the Mayor coffee mug. Okay.
All right. Wash it out.
I want to see what yours says, Todd.
All right. Okay. Let's talk about you. So you're doing this painting. Tell me about the draft is coming up. That's going to be an attraction. We're going to be on the world stage for 3, 4, maybe 5 days. What are you going to bring to the party regarding fence painting?
Yeah, so I mean, the draft's coming to the area. We're talking about hundreds of thousands, not millions of people coming to the area. So I wanted to find a way to kind of optimize that fence, not just from like a community standpoint of involving people, but also just kind of like creating something that's epic and it's kind of going to create a standpoint. So what I'm doing is, I guess to set the stage, back in 2020 on the Packers fence, back in COVID-19 year, very limited fans were allowed into the stadium. So that year on the fence, we sold portraits to 70 fans that were then featured on the fence. And then all that money went to a Green Bay foundation that helped families in need with any kind of COVID-19 complications.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
So 70 people paid to get their portrait on the fence. Couldn't get in the game. And then he took the proceeds from that and supported local foundations.
It's awesome.
That's
fantastic.
That's awesome that you
yeah,
did that.
So, I mean, anyway, so that fantastic. Was back in 2020. So I want to do something similar but magnify it because it's going to be a ginormous event. So what I'm doing is I'm selling 100 portraits, opening it up to all 32 teams. All of that money, every single penny is going directly to the three different communities foundation. So it's going to 23's Cleats for Kids.
Huh. That's a good one.
Which, yeah, I think
well, Spencer Bentley paints that, doesn't he? Somebody does.
Yeah, I work with Bentley on that.
Oh, Bentley, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes, right. Bentley and I work together on that. And then I'm also working with Grit 920, which is this organization in town that builds gyms for individuals with special needs or any kind of developmental
issues.
We've had
them on. We've had them on,
yep,
too.
So they're
love
great.
That.
And then Freedom House, which is another
that's great.
Amazing.
Families.
Those are three great. Couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah. So in total, I'll be raising $100,000 each.
So it's $1,000 he wants. And what's cool, what Zane is doing is he wants these portraits that are going to be on this fence that everybody's going to see. He wants people from all 32 teams.
That's
too,
awesome.
Which
yeah.
is a great goal.
Yeah, I mean.
So you're talking like a star player in their history or?
No, so it's a fan. So
with the player's jersey though.
Yes. So they could either purchase a portrait for themselves, which is their likeness in their favorite jersey.
Got it,
or
got
they
it,
can.
Got it, got it.
Most of the purchases so far though has been for someone else, for a son, a brother, a sister, a mother, a grandpa.
Okay.
So far they've mostly been gifts, but you know, I'm looking for anyone, any team to fill up the space.
I thought you meant like, okay, Chicago Bears, Dick Butkus or something.
I mean,
like that,
if you want to spend your money on that, go for it. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
He can.
Back in the COVID-19 fence, we had dogs on the fence. So I mean, if you want to pay to get your friendly pet on there,
boy.
You can have anything on there.
Oh boy.
Could be talked into that.
Oh boy.
Okay.
You're in the wheelhouse now, Zane.
Exactly.
Wow.
But yeah, so the end goal is to all 100 portraits. Right now I got about 32 sold. We're getting there.
All right.
We're not even to March.
Yeah.
I'll start painting.
How many have you sold?
About 32 as of this morning.
And how many do you want to get?
100.
Okay.
Yep, going to exactly 100. I have it all mapped out for 100.
A lot of stuff is picking up now.
Yes.
On the draft.
Yes.
Rentals, just there's so many things.
Well, even the weather turning nicer.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, get out.
Good things are coming.
Yeah.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
All right, so how do people, let's say someone has a dog they love and they want his.
Just anybody. Pork,
just,
you
yeah,
know,
just
anybody.
The street. He's got a man on the street.
Wasn't the former mayor or anything like that.
And has $1,000 that they would like to do. What's the process?
Yes, so all this information can be found at greenbaygivesback.com. I created a whole website dedicated to this. It goes through all the information about the project, where the fence is located, how you can be involved, how your $1,000 purchase is 100% tax deductible, and the process of how you can go through that.
Certified 501(c)(3).
Exactly. Yes. So all of this money is going directly to charity. Everything is being funded on the back end through other aspects.
Great.
So everything that you will put towards this project will go directly back to the Green Bay community.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. That's a great concept. And it checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
And people, you know, might want to see their dog or, you know, somebody or themselves on there, but that the money goes to charity. And those are good charities too. And they're all pretty good, but those are really, really good ones. So thanks for doing this. So Green Bay GivesBack.com.
Exactly. Green Bay GivesBack.
Everything there. You can register, put in.
Register, yes.
Then they forward you a photo. How's this?
Yes, the whole information on the whole process is on there. But basically, it goes through a third-party GiveButter website app where this is where they make the purchase. All the funds are held in a 501(c) account, so that's not tax deductible.
Right.
What is this whole thing?
How long will they be on there then?
The portraits will be up there until the end of August.
Oh,
so then cool. A new community fence will go up for next season, another paint-by-numbers fence, and maybe we'll have 700 people out there next year, including you guys.
Fantastic. That's awesome. By the way, nobody's coming up with that. Todd said he can't verify it, so I'm throwing this out there. I'm going to tell you what the answer is.
All right.
Repeat the what?
What was the very first slogan on the fence back in 1984?
I have no idea.
And I wrote it down here and showed you guys.
What is it?
Forest will set the pack on fire.
That's kind of clever.
It is.
Forest will set the pack on fire. That's what I'm saying it is.
I would love to see a picture of the fence with that painted on it. Yeah. I would love to see the vintage first original. There's got to be someone that took that.
Sure. What? Why? How do you know that? Did you paint? Did you help?
He probably covered the story, huh?
I covered the story.
Covered the story, yeah.
You want to know anything about the Packers from about 1984 to about 1998? Let me know. Because I lived it, buddy. When you're a sportscaster in Green Bay in that era, you live it.
So, Zane, tell me a little bit more about you're
but
doing this.
With that caveat, I may be wrong.
You didn't have to mention that.
That's the first time you've ever said this on that show.
Well, John, today was the first time Jim said what did I say? What'd you say? I felt what?
Comforted.
I comforted you.
Yeah.
I felt comforted.
I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah. Anyway, you do this. How do you get your work? Like, you go down to Chicago or the Chiefs, I don't know where, is it all sports related or is it anything related?
Yeah, so I do a variety of work. Primarily, it's all funded through social media. So I've got a strong social media following. Primarily on Instagram, and that's where I get 95% of my work.
Wow.
I do about 15 to 20 murals per year, and that's primarily in the Midwest.
Where are some of the other ones we've seen around here?
So in Green Bay behind Kavarna, there's a very colorful one that says, is it Love Grows Here? Or Let Us Love One Another.
Yeah. Okay.
On that one. Yeah. The fence, obviously, on Lombardi. And then there's a bunch down in Fond du Lac, Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, Indiana, Minneapolis.
That's cool.
All over, I kind of get around. And then during the winter when it gets cold out here and it's not as much time to paint, then I go into custom cleats for football players. So about each season I do about 20, 30, 40. This year is about 31 pairs I did. And then now the season's over, so it's back into mural planning. So it kind of switches up by the season. But really anything that can be painted, I will paint.
If you're going to have a big mural on something, it's all faces, you know, not just words. I mean, you got the face, you know, where you have to have some detail with how they actually look. Do you draw that out first with like a charcoal pen or something? And then how do you do that?
So with that, I'm
because again, I know everyone, I can't draw a straight line, but I'm a horrific, I'm the only kid. I got a bleep and C. I just found an old report card. I got a C in art when I was like in fourth grade. Who gives somebody a C
in art? That's lame.
You're just trying your hardest. You're doing your best. Okay, I don't have that talent.
Did you try?
I tried hard.
Because you should got a B.
I should have gotten at least a B for effort.
For effort. Wow.
I got two C's.
Sister.
Guess where the other C came in?
Math.
It was the same teacher.
Math.
Science. Nope. English.
Nope.
Music?
Yeah.
Wow.
Singing.
Well, I think we all agree with that.
That just shows she had it out
she
for me.
She knew what she was doing. I don't know about the art teacher, but...
Zane Statz, if that is in fact his real name. We'll be back right after this.
GreenBayGivesBack.com.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here. Good looking Tuesday. It is 36 degrees in Green Bay, 34 in Appleton. 37 in Oshkosh. It feels really nice out there. Forecast today, sunny and 43. Like to hear that. I think we almost appreciate that more with it being so unbelievably cruddy for a couple
last
of weeks.
Week. Yeah.
It's like this real, I mean, okay, week ago, wind chill was what, 30 below? And now it's going to be 43. So you know what I mean? It's like, that's phenomenal. We'll take that. We're joined by Zane Statz, graphic designer, painter, mural artist, talking about a really exciting project he's got coming up in order for the draft and how you can be a part of this and have about 330,000 eyes on you, if not more. Zane, one more time, in case somebody joined us a little bit late, talk about the number one project you're working on now that you're putting together, please.
Sure. So this is a fence on Lombardi Avenue. It's on the main block of Lombardi Avenue, directly across the street from Lambeau Field. So it'll be really close to all the action on draft night. What I'm doing is it's a 70-foot-long fence, and I am selling spots to get your image and likeness on the fence for the draft and the summer. 100 portraits are going to be going on this fence. Each portrait costs $1,000. All of that $1,000, every single penny is going directly to three charities in Green Bay. In total, this is going to be $100,000 raised for the community. The three charities are Freedom House, Grit 920, and 23's Cleats for Kids. So this is really just a great community event where I am looking to get 100 huge fans, NFL fans on the fence from any team. This is not just specifically to Packers fans. This is to all 32 NFL teams. And just looking for those ultimate fans to come up on the fence and really ultimately help the Green Bay community with this huge event coming to Green Bay.
Wow. And do they, is their name on there or is it just their image?
Their name will be on there. Their name will be on there. If there's any kind of specific text to a limitation can go on there. There's no branding of any kind that can go on there.
Right, right. Advertising.
No advertising. But if they want their name or a last name or something specific like that, definitely.
Can they wear their favorite team's jerseys?
The color of their favorite team and the city will be on there, but I cannot use the logo or the name. So, yes.
Yeah, but it's pretty obvious.
Pretty obvious, yeah. You'll be able to tell.
And you've been referred to as the unofficial artist of the Green Bay Packers.
Yes. Green Bay Press Gazette.
That's cool. And but you do, tell us a little bit more about the work you do outside the community. Do you say Fond du Lac's big? Why is Fond du Lac an area?
Yeah, so I've been working a lot with Fond du Lac just because a lot of cities have been getting grants. They're called beautification grants, where they're getting specific money to kind of help beautify their town. Fond du Lac got a lot of money to really help revitalize a lot of their parks. So in a lot of their parks, I've been doing murals either on fences or on cement floor.
And they built
back up. Say that again. What was that very, very last thing you said?
On cement floor. So one of the murals I did for them was they put in it's an outdoor musical park. So it's a bunch of outdoor musical instruments
cool.
for kids to go out there and play. But the whole, it's on a big slab of concrete. So they wanted me to do a mural on the base of it. So the whole bottom slab is a big mural and then all the instruments are on top.
Is that harder because you can't step back and look at it?
Yes.
Okay.
So actually what I did,
drone out.
Literally I used my drone as a grid.
Oh, you did?
I took my drone out there to paint the grid and use different like elements, trees and stuff to know of where I can kind of line items off of. And from there on, I was able to scale.
Okay, so there's math involved.
There's a lot of math involved.
Okay.
Not good in art, not good in math.
You're not going to sing as a paint either.
I know what my next job is not going to be.
I know, mural painting is more than just a brush stroke. There's actually a lot of math and a lot of back-end engineering involved just to make sure it all works. So
that's actually pretty fascinating. I mean, that really is. To use a drone to plot out your grid?
Yeah, because that was one of the first times I've had to paint down. I mean, painting.
That's what I mean. You can step back, like I said.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You know, these parks in some of these cities, Fond du Lac, Appleton, all cities, Green Bay included, when we built things, I'm not sure we had art in mind.
Yeah.
So it's nice because some of these cinder block buildings, kind of ugly, but, you know, that's what the budget had. And to enhance those with art is, that's a real gift that you're sharing that can really enhance that park. It's cool to look at some parks and say, well, it's really not the park that's on this street. It's the park with this mural.
Exactly.
And that's
And one of the parks specifically in Fond du Lac, it was a park that at the corner of it was a big bar, and then there was a big city park that was basically on the same block. So they built this large fence separating the bar from the park, and then it is this ginormous, colorful mural separating the two. So you don't even realize that there's a bar right across from the fence. Mm-hmm. It just seems like this big, beautiful park. So it helps beautify these spaces without really overtaking anything.
When did local mural guys first come onto the scene?
Right.
You know, like, 20 years ago, there was nothing.
Oh, it's been the last 15 years, honestly.
15?
Yeah. Okay. And it started off coast to coast, and now it's kind of been up into the Midwest. I mean, it's not been a huge thing for very long.
I think the beautification, not a good word to enhance some of the stuff, was advertising, and people really don't like that. They don't want to see drink Diet Coke or whatever it is.
No.
They would really rather see some artwork from you, somebody local, talented.
You know, this is going off course here a little bit, but I was sitting for a train, of course, yesterday, right up here in Walnut.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just thinking to myself, I'd like to find the kid that painted this, whatever it was. This kid's got a tremendous talent. I don't know if he's in a gang someplace and that's what they did or whatever. It's like,
oh, the train.
The train.
I love train
art. I would hire this guy for any kind of whatever, and it's maybe some kid with a can of spray paint someplace, right? Yeah.
Train art is some of the most beautiful art. I mean, some of it is crude, obviously, but some of it is just like it should be in a museum.
It was incredible.
They had a display one time at the Railroad Museum of not Green Bay stuff, but just train art.
Oh, yeah.
This is the only time I've ever sat and enjoyed waiting for this bleeping train, watching this really impressive work go by.
Oh, yeah. And that's the really cool thing about public art is everyone can experience it. Everyone can enjoy it, and you don't have to pay for it either.
Right.
It's just there for you to soak up and enjoy. And with art, everyone can interpret it differently. It's not just like black and white. I mean, we're all there to kind of experience it, interpret it, and it's just like a whole event for us kind of to be a part of.
Yeah, that's a good what Zane is talking about. Some people can see that train and just, ah, those gangs.
Right.
And yeah. Other people can say, wow,
that is talent.
Yeah. That's a cool design.
And it's cool like for all facets of life to be able to look at that and see it as art. I mean, it's not just us artists looking at it, but yeah. I mean, everyone, every walk of life literally is looking at this and could be seeing it as the beauty that it is and not just a gang sign on a train, which hopefully that's not what it was.
But I don't know what it was.
It's hard to read sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't know at the end of the day.
The colors, the way things were blended, the whole, okay. Well, it's like, wow.
Enjoy the delay. You know what I mean? We can calm their, get their blood pressure down and say, look at the artwork you're seeing. This is a free art show.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Got to ask you a quick question.
I don't know if it's going to work.
Were you that kid, first day of class, you could draw that horse and nobody else could?
No.
No?
Okay. I was not that kid. No, I was not huge into art growing up. I really didn't start doing art until my dad let me spray paint the garage in high school. So once I got to spray paint the garage, that's a whole nother story for another day.
We'll have you back.
Tell me next time.
All right, Zane, this is awesome. This is Zane Stats. He's the guy painting this fence. You can get your portrait on there. GreenBayGivesBack.com. Get on that website. Buy it as a gift for your mom, for your kids.
For your dog.
Or cat.
Yeah. But it might get mad when I spray painted something at my house. Woo! I still have scars from
this
that
day. This is
great. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll
thanks for having us.
We'll help promoting it.
Great to
have people
that.
From around here.
All appreciate right, it. We come back. We're going to talk old school basketball with Gary Gresh Sr. and Al McGuire days. Back after this.
WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Monday night, the Green Bay Area Public School Board voted to change several job titles and descriptions to keep ahead of a directive from the Trump administration on DEI efforts. The changes removed mentions of diversity, equity, inclusion, and cultural competency from job descriptions. The motion to change titles and descriptions carried 4-3. The school board hopes the efforts will ensure that it doesn't lose millions of dollars in federal aid. The Education Department sent a memo out Friday giving school districts an ultimatum to stop using racial preferences as a factor in admissions, financial aid, hiring, and other areas. Schools were given 14 days to end any practice that treats students and workers differently because of their race. A recent study by WalletHub found that Wisconsin homeowners pay some of the highest real estate property taxes in the country. According to the study, Wisconsin ranked 8th in the nation for highest taxes, despite having the 20th lowest median home value. Wisconsin residents pay nearly $4,600 in annual taxes for a median value home, significantly more than the national average of about $3,000 per year. Illinois was the only Midwest state to rank higher on the list, paying a median home average of nearly $6,800 per year. The largest Flag Day parade in the country with over 50,000 spectators will take place in Appleton on Saturday, June 14th. The City of Appleton Parades Committee is now accepting applications for the 74th Appleton Flag Day Parade. It's also accepting applications for the Memorial Day Parade on May 26th. The deadline to apply to be in either parade is April 15th. See our story at WGBW.fm for more information and links. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. Special thanks to Zane Stats, graphic designer, painter, mural artist. Boy, that sounds like a great project right? He's got going on.
And I hope he gets the word out to other teams that are visiting. And, you know, if somebody's coming in from Seattle or San Diego, Houston, that'd be cool if they could hear this some way,
and
somehow.
And it's up to, what, the end of August? The pictures?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it'd be up for the draft, which is really cool. You can come up here and see that. So anyway.
All right. I'll tell you what. We're heading in towards March Madness. This is a great time of year for basketball, high school and collegiate. And I love following a website or a Facebook site about Al McGuire. Al McGuire is my favorite, other than Dick Bennett, Al McGuire is my favorite coach of all time in any way, shape, or form. And this gentleman right here, Gary Gresh Sr., had a front row seat. I shouldn't say seat, Gary, because that might bring back some long nights sitting instead of playing.
Riding the bench.
I had my share both ways.
The pride of Don Bosco High School, Gary Gresh Sr., former Marquette Warrior back in the day during some of their great, tremendous days. Gary, first of all, congratulations on your young son with his 400th win.
Thank you very much. Very proud of him. He's come a long way, and he's had a lot of help with it, and he's very humble about it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching him for many more years.
Yeah, and he really is. Humble's the right word. And just is so – we've had him on the show quite a few times, really. Yeah, we could go about a number of times, and just never talks about himself. And he's one of those – I'm not saying he's a player's coach, but boy, does he care about the players. You did a good job raising him.
Thank you very much. And the nice thing about it is that the parents appreciate all that he's done for their sons, and he really cares about them. I think most of them wind up graduating from St. Norbert's, which is a real plus. So, yeah, very proud of him.
And he said you were writing out some huge checks for NIL. Is that true?
If I had the money, I would definitely do something.
Well, Gary Gresh, tell us a little bit. You know, I've been reading these Al McGuire stories, and it's just funny. You know, Maurice, I don't know if Maurice Lucas was a teammate of yours, but how he was like the most toughest guy in college basketball, and the Jim Jones and these unbelievable legendary players, and Al McGuire's son. And I've always wanted to ask that. Maybe I did. Did you have to compete with Al McGuire's son for playing time at point guard?
I did. And there were times when he was hurt or sick, like his sophomore year, because you couldn't play as a freshman. I started the first five games that year. So I was a year ahead of him. And Jones was my roommate at that time. He was a freshman. Obviously, freshmen couldn't play. And Maurice Lucas came in a following year because I think it's because we played in the NIT. He was so impressed with that he was the big recruit the following year.
Did you play against Pete Maravich?
Pete Maravich, yes. I really enjoyed it. I kind of related a little bit to my son playing against Jason Kidd. But yes, Pete Maravich, he averaged 43 points a game for 3 years because you couldn't, again, play as freshmen. They had no three-point shot, no clock shot. We held them to 23 points that game.
Wow. He was so legendary. I mean, he was unbelievable during his day in college. Did you, like, when you guys took the floor, like, when you're shooting around, did you kind of cast sideway glance down there and check out the pistol?
Well, I used to stick around. A few of our players would stick around before we practiced or after we practiced, and sometimes they'd follow us or be one or the other. And we'd watch him practice, and he was just phenomenal. He could do things like a globetrotter could. Unbelievable.
So you played a lot of games. You played just with Al McGuire. Do you have a favorite? I'm sure people ask you that all the time, but I mean, there's just every game can be so exciting. Do you have a favorite game that stands out when you look back?
Well, definitely the LSU game, the third game. But the one game I really remember, and it was our toughest game in the NIT because that's the year we turned down the NCAA to play in it. But that game I remember, it was our we won by only 7 points. That was our toughest game. And at halftime, it was a real close game. We came in at halftime, and Al said, "Hey, who is this guy out there? Who is that?" And the brothers, the guys from New York, they say, "Well, that's the doctor." and like he should have known, but they all knew of him. On
Julius Erving.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Coach.
Yes.
Wow.
Julius Erving, you guys were up. You're up against Maravich and Julius Erving. That ain't bad.
Yeah.
And you won.
And Lou Carnesecca, and Lou Carnesecca was in the championship game, his team, with St. John's.
Okay.
So it was a heck of a NIT. because when you were in the, at that time, and I've often told my sons this, they said, what was so big about the NIT? I said, you don't realize there were only 32 teams in the NCAA. And there were 32. A lot of teams that took second or third in their conference, Big Ten, whatever conference, they didn't make it to the NCAA. They played in the NIT then.
Well, that's the same thing with the ACC. North Carolina, North Carolina State, Duke, all these fantastic teams. If you didn't win the tournament, a lot of times you could go 30-0 in the regular season, get beat in the championship game of your tournament, and you were out of the tournament. Hey, Gary?
Yeah. Correct. I don't know back then if they had conference tournaments, though. So.
ACC did.
Now, you're talking about 1970 now.
But ACC was the first ones to do it.
They were? Okay.
Yeah. Because okay,
I wasn't aware of that.
They had a phenomenal tournament 1 year with Maryland that had Tom McMillan and those great players, and NC State that had David Thompson and some of those players, and they said that was one of the greatest tournaments. That could have been almost like a national tournament, those teams in the ACC.
Right.
With Gary Gresh Sr. Now, Gary, what I have to ask this, what were practices like with Al McGuire?
Practices, actually, I thought they were pretty easy compared to what I had in high school, because before every practice, Al would say, hey, you guys, come in. And whenever we practiced, and he'd talk to us sometimes for a half an hour and just talked about life in general, different things and things like that. And I said, boy, this is good. We're only going to get to run up and down the floor only for an hour. So he was really good about communicating, talking about life and things like that.
That's awesome.
That's, you know, and that it's nice to hear that that was happening back then. But today it's a lot of that as well. When we had, who was the guy at GB? You know, he loved
Sundance.
Sundance was really into getting to know the players and really being this maybe father figure that some of them didn't have. Now, you came from a great family, but it's sure nice to get that reinforced, if nothing else.
Correct. It wasn't just about basketball with him. It was about life. It was about, things going on in the world. He was ahead of the times.
Yeah.
What about Rick Majerus, who was like a student assistant or whatever, and then became a legendary coach?
Rick Majerus, I loved him. We were best friends. He used to call me up at 10 o'clock at night, and that's when he was coaching in high school that last year. And he'd say, hey, Gary, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm getting ready for bed. He says, come on, let's go for a pizza. And I said, Rick, it's late and that stuff. He's come on, let's go out. I want to hear what happened at practice today and what's going on.
Wow.
He was always involved one way or another.
He was the ultimate gym junkie type, gym rat type, wasn't he?
Definitely. In fact, my son could probably tell you stories about him. When I was coaching him in grade school, he said, hey, get your players together, get your grade school team together, and let's go to the gym. I'm going to work them out. And he did.
No kidding. Then Hank Raymonds, who I think quietly was very, very instrumental behind all the success for Marquette in the era, right?
Yes, definitely. He was a great assistant coach. I mean, he was loyal. He probably knew more about basketball than Al did. I remember one time sitting with him, actually at a Marquette game, and he says, look at that offense they're running. That's the old Kentucky offense, or that's the old, you know, he'd know all these different things. He too loved basketball. He was a great guy.
Isn't it? Don't you have to like almost just like pinch yourself sometimes with Gary? I mean, you had a nice high school career, obviously, and then you get to play for just three really legendary coaches, and then your son gets to play for a legendary coach. Now he's got 400 wins. His son was a great athlete. Your granddaughter is a great basketball player. I mean, you know what? You know, people can say, well, don't put too much emphasis on sports. And I say bullcrap. Sports is life. Sports is a really important part of our life. And for a family like yours, that's what you guys have embraced. And it's a great thing. Don't you agree?
I definitely agree. I think it's very relative. You know, if you're a hard worker, you're going to be a hard worker in life, you know, and you go out there and I think you can relate them to, you know, after life. I mean, after basketball and things.
No question that it's more than sports. And what I find interesting, especially with your son and his players, is these are pretty good academic students, too. Oof. I mean, they're really good academic students. And I think that's great that they understand that sports is fun. It's important, but it's just part of it. It's part of the game. And I think when people understand, because some people are like, oh, we're spending too much money on some of these facilities. And you say, look, this is turning out not good athletes, not only good athletes, but great, great students. And I think...
Well, the education is there if they want it.
Right.
Some, unfortunately, don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Gary, we got to set a quick break. Can you stick around for 1 minute?
Definitely.
Awesome.
Enjoy talking basketball.
This is great. Gary Gresh, Sr., former Marquette Warrior player. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here, a very special guest, Gary Gresh, Sr. Gary, I got a text here. What did you do when Gary Jr. won his first game as a head coach at St. Norbert?
Oh, well, I bought a cake on the way up there, and congratulations on your first win. And then I left it in the car because I didn't know if he was going to win the game or not. And then
after
the game was over, I said, hey, Gary, can I come in after the game? I got something for you. And I brought him in a cake and just a congratulations and that. And obviously, we split it with the team. He didn't take it home with him. I thought, well, and I asked him about that, if he remembered that. And he said, yes, I do.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
401 wins later or whatever. I'll tell you one thing, though, Gary. We're talking about playing for a legendary coach such as Al McGuire. And I don't know if we appreciated it as much at the time, but playing for a Dick Bennett, now in retrospect, legendary nationwide, one of the legendary. And, you know, when he was here, he'd come from Stevens Point. So, yeah. You're up in the big time now type of thing. And isn't it pretty incredible between you and him? I mean, do you guys talk at all, Gary, how those two coaches have played a part in your lives down the road?
We've both been very blessed from high school on. I had a great coach, Tom Sager, in high school at Don Bosco, and he had great coaches in high school and continued on. I mean, all our coaches, are in the Hall of Fame and things. That's unbelievable. And it's unbelievable. I'm very happy with the choice that he went, and myself too. No looking back.
So now, with this talent that you've created throughout your whole family, what do you go to a lot of games? Is there
which one to go to?
I was just going to ask you that. What happens when they're logistically you can't do both, or do you attend the games, or how are you still engaged?
When he was in college, I would miss one game every year, and sure enough, it would be, I'm going to use the Northern Illinois game. It was towards the end of the year. I had a funeral that night of a relative, and I didn't make the game. Well, he made the game-winning basket and got fouled against Northern Illinois towards the end of the game. And I read in the paper the night after, day after, Dick saying, that's really unusual for Gary to be that dramatic. I thought that was something. But every year. And so after the game, he says to me, or the next day, he says to me, Dad, you know, I know you drive up a lot of times by yourself, and that, and sometimes you hit bad weather, and that you can stay home once in a while.
You know, so, that group, though, Gary, when we were doing those games and that era, I mean, it was Eric Jackson's mom and dad and Jeff Norgard's mom and dad, Jeremy Ludvigsen, Eric LeDuc, Berlowski's. I mean, what a family atmosphere the parents had following that team.
Yes. That was great. I mean, we got to be real good friends and still are friends. I really enjoyed it.
I remember it was my birthday. Well, the Jason Kidd game was on my birthday. And then the next year we were in, I think, Austin, Texas to play Purdue. And it was my birthday. I remember Eric Jackson's. I think it might have been your Gary's grandma, the little Sicilian. And they brought me this real nice big thing of cupcakes right down on press row. They, Johnny, here's happy birthday. And they had little candles on them on press row. That was like the nicest thing.
Yeah, she was a pistol. Oh. She'd go to any game she could. Loved her to death.
She reminded me so much of my Nona. 5'1", 98 pounds, but feisty as possible. Yeah. Right, Gary?
No, that must have been her heaviest. I remember at about 85 pounds.
Wow. Great era.
Hey, are you... happy with the way things are going? I mean, you played years ago, and basketball, like many, many other things, is evolving. Is that the right word, or changing? Do you like what you see? You feel confident that things are being done right?
Well, obviously, I don't care for, you know, for a person, the portal and everything.
Yeah.
People playing 6 years, going to five different schools. I don't care for that. When you transferred from a school back in my time, you had to sit out a year. And now there's no rules on that and how it's being governed. No, I don't like that direction.
Right.
Well, Gary, listen, we're going to let you go wrap it up here. We could sit and talk to you for about 4 hours. I got about 12 other stories I wanted to ask about, and time just goes by too fast. Would love to get you on again sometime, but just want to say congratulations on raising such a, you know, to forget the wins and losses, congratulations on raising such a wonderful family.
Thank you so much. They really are great, great kids, and they carry themselves well, and thank you so much for that comment.
Well, they look to as leaders in our community. And like Johnny said, there's so much more than just basketball. And and that comes from you and your wife. So they should be in political office.
Oh, here he goes. Okay, look at the time.
The other thing, it goes by fast. Now you see them, now you don't.
Right.
So thank you.
Well, I remember, Gary, I said, your son and Dominic were at Resurrection School together, you know, at Christmas pageants, and now Dom is full grown in his 40s, and your son is a phenomenal athlete, and Gary's whatever, and your granddaughters and Liz. And so it just goes by way too fast.
Yeah. You can't forget Gary's wife,
Liz.
She's been so supportive and helping him out. You know, people don't realize at one time she could have probably had the Youngstown State women's job, and she gave it up, to help her husband, Gary, out, because she knows how much he loves the game.
Yeah. Outstanding. Gary Gresh Sr., thank you so much, my friend. Thanks for being a great friend over the years.
Thank you, John. Try to make it to one of Gary's games so we can go out for a sandwich after, okay?
Could we get something to wash that sandwich down with?
Yeah.
All right, great.
We can have a soda or two.
It's
sure.
A deal. Gary Gresh Sr., thank you so much, my friend. Back. Yeah.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.